Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 105. I was in this psalm a few weeks ago. I'm going to pick it back up. Psalm 105 was written for when the Ark of the Covenant was brought down to Jerusalem, and the presence of God was being brought there, whereby they would hear the voice of God and receive direction from Him. And I'll just begin reading verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, the reason He says that there is, again, the Scripture shows us that at the Ark of the Covenant, God was going to speak to them. So they should rejoice if you're a person that seeks the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Now, these next few verses are the ones I want to focus on today. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance? What I want to draw attention to is the word remember, and that's used twice in this passage, and that the Ark of the Covenant being brought to Jerusalem, first act of David as king. He's saying, remember the marvelous works of God. Now, that's basis for your faith, to see the things that God would promise to come to pass. And then he also says at verse 8, He remembered His covenant forever. We have a relationship with God through a covenant relationship. The covenant was made, the new covenant, through Jesus Christ representing God to man and man to God. And in this covenant, there are precious promises of what God will do for us. And He gives commands, because we don't negotiate with God. He gives us commands as to what our part of it is, and He gives promises as to His part. So with the covenant relationship, we have what God promises to do if we believe Him, and what He commands us to do. And it's in the acts of obedience that we have the manifestation of His presence and His promises in our life. So the command here is to remember. Now, the Ark of the Covenant being brought by David, who was just established as king, was the beginning of a new time. Something new is being established, David as king. And with that, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, is going to be right there in Jerusalem. And that was another type of a new beginning for them. Because under Saul being king, who was the first king, they didn't have that. So something new is being established. And I'm sharing this message in light of this is the first Sunday of the year. And this is a moving forward message. My title, I guess, would be Remember and Move Forward. Or Move Forward and Remember. So it's a good thing to have marked times in your life where you'll reflect on certain things. If you're married and you have anniversary, it's a good time to sit together as husband and wife and reflect. Oh, you know, what's the Lord done in our life? What's happened in the last year and so forth? Well, at the end of the year, it's good to reflect over that year, to remember certain things, and there's some things you might want to forget. But there's some remembering to be done in light of what you're moving toward. So you combine these two thoughts. You're moving forward in hope and vision, and there's some things you need to learn and be blessed by from whatever happened in the previous year. I would certainly hope that all of you would have some testimony of the Lord working in your life in 2020. So remember that, His marvelous works or whatever was done. Don't magnify the negatives, even though there were plenty of them. 2020's, in a way, a year to forget. However, if you think about it, I'm sure there's many things the Lord did for you in the last year. Remember that and encourage yourself and be thankful to the Lord. Don't just fret about what wasn't ideal or good. It's not wise to become an idealist, because when you're looking at everything for what it's not, it's going to make you negative toward that. Don't think about what things aren't. Thank God for what he's blessed you with, what you do have in him, and hold fast to your hope of what he wants to do in your life moving forward. We have to always do that. So this word's one relative to remembering certain things and moving forward. So, you know, maybe some of you have a tradition or a custom, like New Year's Eve, you have a special meal and you reflect on those things. I would suggest to you, if that's not something you do, to consider doing it. You know, where you're going to take some time aside and just think back over the year. Don't let all the negativity be the dominant thought. But what did the Lord do? I mean, you're still here. He kept you alive. If you can't think of anything else, I'll just give you a little head start there. I'm sure he's blessed you in other ways. In the midst of bad things going on, we can still prosper. Now, it's up to us to believe and walk in the principles, but we can be still continue in the blessing of the Lord, regardless of what's going on. And what happens as we remember what he's doing, we take the position of thankfulness instead of that of being a complainer. All right, so in addressing this with remembering, when you move forward in anything, there's always some things you need to remember going forward. It's like if you go to a school for something, there are some things you need to remember. Ideally, the curriculum should be so important that you try to remember all of it. But we all know that's being idealistic, that you're going to remember everything. So we have to focus on the most important things and remember them. And then you keep adding and attaching things to that. It's like that with anything. This is why it's important in helping people to receive a truth to go into them and to remember it. There has to be some repetition. That's a part of teaching the word. You have repetition in there. Oh, he said this for 5 times. Yeah, I'm going to say it for 6 so you remember it when you go home. We don't want to be the guy who works with another Christian and you go to work on Monday and say, oh, how was church yesterday? Oh, it was really good. What did you learn? What did a preacher preach? I don't know, but it was good. That's not going to do you much good. We have to be able to continue to retain certain things so that we can walk in the light of it as the opportunity presents itself. So in building this concept with remembering, there has to be some repetition. It's helpful if there's something you can attach it to, like a testimony or illustrations or things that would help you remember. Now, I set myself over the years to try to have faith for good memory. Don't be confessing, oh, I can't ever remember anything. Well, you're an unbelief that's ever going to happen then. But to try to remember, and I find it helps me, like if I'm meeting people, if I hear myself say their name and I say it a few times, I'll remember it quicker. Anybody that tries to remember names will learn that. And it's really a Bible principle that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Or in other words, you're going to, as you continue to hear something, it's going to go into you. So that because of that, if you say the name wrong the first time, you'll probably keep saying it wrong continuous. So it's a principle of meditation. We speak to ourselves. We say that thing over and over so we can remember. That's why we need to continue hearing the word of God, that it continues to be stirred up within us, that we're remembering it and we're not walking away with losing a consciousness of what was taught to us. Now, the Holy Spirit, we're really blessed in the new covenant. Part of what he does is bring things to our remembrance. Jesus said that. When I go and the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring all things to remembrance that I've taught you. So we should be releasing faith for him to help us to remember the word, or not just like in a memory sense, but to bring it to our attention when we need it. In other words, you see a certain situation, let's just say someone offends you, and the Holy Spirit immediately brings the word you've heard before to forgive them right away. So you're not carrying it around with you. And he'll bring things to our remembrance. Now, I like to challenge myself in that. And my wife's a note writer. Some people like to write notes out, but I forget where I put the note. So I find for me it's just better I just try to remember. She's shaking her head. But release faith to remember. Okay? And again, there's certain things that God tells us to do in his word that are going to help us. One is to continue hearing and speaking the word of God. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is sometimes called the book of remembrance. There's many times the command is given to remember certain things. So first time at, well, one place I want to go to where it comes up is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. It says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou or your son, your daughter, or your manservant or maidservant, nor ox, nor ass, nor any of your cattle, nor stranger that's within your gates, that the manservant and the maidservant may rest as well. And remember, you were a servant in the land of Egypt, or a slave, and that the Lord your God brought thee out through a mighty hand, through stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So the commandment to keep Sabbath, seventh day, is a rest, not to work, also involves remembering what the Lord has done. Like, you don't just sit there and vegetate, do nothing. No, we should be remembering what the Lord has done. And we do that in coming to worship, because the songs that we would sing are of the word of God, and we're singing and declaring who he is as Savior and what he's done, and he's our deliverer, our healer, and on he's our life. We're remembering in that way, and then in the hearing of the teaching and preaching of the word, we're continuing to learn, but then also to remember that which we already know. And if you think in your mind, well, yeah, I've heard that before, I know that, that's a sure sign you don't know. Because God wants to bring deeper revelation of the truths revealed in the word of God. And we need to have our mind renewed, and that's what brings change to our life. So there's a commandment here for keeping Sabbath, that we're keeping the word and the works of God alive in our heart. It's one thing to say, yeah, I remember that happened a long time ago. But it's another thing to keep it alive in your heart. So he gives us this command here, keep Sabbath to remember. And specifically, you were in bondage in the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, and their bondage was in Egypt, but ours was to the world, to sin. And God brought us out of sin, out of darkness, into the light, out of sin, into righteousness. So we need to continue to think on that and remember that. Now, again, when you're moving forward, it's important to keep certain things in your mind as you move forward. And if you're going to do something, let's say you're going to a job, let's say you do construction work, you would need to remember, did you put your tools in the truck? And maybe for some of you, did you put your lunchbox in there too? That might be very important to you. But there's some things you have to remember and you can't forget. If you were a surgeon, you can't forget, oh, do I cut that or do I cut that? I forgot. Well, I'll snip them both. No, there's some things you have to keep in your mind as you're going forward. And believe it or not, you can have knowledge of things, but just start moving forward and get so caught up in what you're trying to do. Could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. Could be something that's worthless, really. It's not really good or bad. It's just a waste of time. But if we don't keep the truth of the Word of God alive in our heart, we won't have what we need to move forward into our future. So we proceed forward into chapter 7 and down at verse 18. It's spoken once again. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. The previous verses, he was speaking of the nations that were in the land he's going to take them into. But thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did to Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt, the great temptations which your eyes saw, and the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so that the Lord thy God do unto the people of whom thou art afraid. So he's saying, remember the miracles, how God utterly destroyed Pharaoh, his army, Egypt, who had you in bondage. Pharaoh is a type of the devil, type of Satan, who had has the world in bondage. Remember how I defeated them, or how your enemy was defeated. In remembering how the Lord defeated Pharaoh is what was going to give them strong faith to face these other people, the Canaanites and like Goliath and all his associates and on down the line, the Philistines. Remembering the Lord gave victory back here is what will strengthen you to face a new enemy. Now, as we're proceeding in life, there are many times there's an enemy to us. There's a challenge to us. There's something that's a problem. And we have to move toward it. We can't be running away, running back. Move toward it in faith, believing for the victory. And what's going to give you strength in facing another challenge or problem is that God gave you the victory back here. He defeated your Pharaoh. He brought you out of darkness into the light. He surely can defeat this enemy. Or let's say it this way. Let's say you have you're given some bad prognosis relative to the health in your body. And if you remember what the Lord's done before, well, he healed me before here, 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 and here. Why would this be any different? You might have a financial need and you're saying, wow, where am I going to come up with the money to do this? Got to replace the transmission in the vehicle. Well, the Lord provided back here, 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 and here. So as you're remembering how he provided before or how he defeated the enemy or how he healed you, you remember what was done. It strengthens your faith to face the next challenge. So what happens as you begin to practice living that way, what happens is that you get stronger and stronger in your faith and you're not moved by new challenges. And what will begin to happen is you'll look at what's before you and then you look back what the Lord brought you through. You say, this thing back here seemed so big at the time, but now it's nothing. There's a bigger challenge or a bigger problem. And what we want to come to is this place where it doesn't matter what's up ahead. Because you know your God. He delivered you from Pharaoh or Satan, powers of darkness. So it doesn't matter what I have to face. Well, this is a precious gem of truth for us. Because many times people are afraid of the future. We can look ahead joyfully. I mean, ultimately, it's heaven. But while we're down here yet, God still has a word and a promise to every circumstance and situation. His covenant covers whatever we're going to face. So as we continue to remember what he's done, what we're going to face, it's not too big for him. And we can just continue to thank God and rejoice. And we can walk in peace and joy. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. We should have that testimony on our lips. Lord, I thank you. I'm not afraid of my future. I'm not afraid of problems. I'm not afraid of the challenges that are going to come because I know what you've done already. As long as you'll remember how he's delivered you out of darkness, how he's defeated the enemy, what's another problem in front of you? It becomes small because your God's big. Oh, praise the Lord. So he's telling them, don't be afraid of all these nations. You know, when he finally got up there to the door of it, they're saying, oh, these guys are giants. We're like grasshoppers compared to them, which means they're just going to stomp on us. They're going to crush us. So he gave them this word while they're on the way to the promised land. Deuteronomy, the whole book, was a recap of everything that had been spoken to them. And it was like 30 days before they're going to be brought to the edge of the promised land. So he's saying, remember these things so you can go in. Remember these things so you can go forward and not be stopped. We should always have a sense of what the Lord has done, what he's saying to us now, and where he wants to take us in the future. We should always have a sense of that if we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Because you have to know those things. What am I dealing with right now? What has he done back here whereby I can be strengthened? What has he said to me? What is he saying to me now? And I like to reference a lot of times, what is the Lord saying? What is he saying to us now? And it might be, okay, I want you to grow in patience more. I want you to learn to walk in love to a greater degree. Whatever it might be, isn't the issue. Is that we should have awareness that he's speaking to us about something he wants to do in our life and where he's taking us to. This is very important to embrace in our mind, because when we're in a time circumstance like we are, all this virus and all the interruptions to life as we've known whatever our normal was, you can get caught up in the moment and forget about where God wants to take you, what he's been saying to you, and what he's done for you. We don't want that to happen. So this is very, very important. Very, very important. Don't let the circumstances of the world right now bring you outside of a place that you are moving forward in faith. We are not to retreat within and try and just hang on, but always, you know, walk in this place of a victory. We're continuing to move forward, not afraid of our future. Well, let's go to chapter 8, another remember command here. Deuteronomy 8:1. He says, all the commandments I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that or in order that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now, one of the truths that comes out continuously in the book of Deuteronomy is that covenant is conditional, or the promises of God are conditional. We have our part in it. God has his part. He's faithful to do his part. He'll remember his covenant, but we need to continue in faith and obedience, so that he can perform that which he wants to do in our lives. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember. Now the first was remember he brought you out of bondage to sin. Secondly, remember how he defeated the enemy. Now he's saying, remember all the way which the Lord your God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you keep his commandments or not. Remember the way. Our life is as a journey. Your whole life is a journey. There's a beginning point. You were born. And then there was also being born again. There's an end point when your body dies, ceases to function, your spirit leaves, and it's heaven or hell, depending on your faith. But we have a beginning and an end on a journey. On the journey, there are many stops along the way. There are things to learn. If you don't learn what you need to know, you won't proceed any further. The journey for them was through the wilderness, coming out of Egypt to go to the promised land. They're going to have to go through the wilderness. There were many challenges in the wilderness, such as no food, no water. I say that's a challenge. They had other challenges as well, like serpents in the wilderness, different challenges like this. And God led them through, and he wanted them to remember the journey, because what they would learn each step along the way was necessary to be able to enter into the promised land. And really what he wanted for them was to come into a place of faith and absolute obedience to the word of God so that he could take them into the promised land. So he says down here, he led them in that wilderness. They were there 40 years to all the original, except Joshua and Caleb. Everybody died off in the wilderness because they were in unbelief. And he said he led them in there to humble them and to prove them to know what was in their heart. Now, God knew what was in their heart. He wants you to know what's in your heart. He wanted them to know their own heart. God knows everything. He doesn't have to test you to know what's in your heart. But when you go through a test, you'll know what's in your heart. Whether it's faith or unbelief or bitterness or whatever, we need to know what's in us. How can you change something if you don't even know what's going on? How can you cooperate with God if you don't even know what he's trying to do? So the testing revealed what was in them. It's for this reason we can count it all joy when we come in various trials and temptations. I'm quoting James 1:2. We can count it all joy because the trying of our faith works patience or perseverance, which when perseverance runs its course, then you'll have the full manifestation. So Romans 5 brings that out, James chapter 1. The test and the trial, the natural man wants to always avoid. Well, I always want to have enough money so I don't have to trust God for any. That was a little jab in the side, wasn't it? But that's how man thinks. Well, I don't ever want to have to face anything. If you allow that thought to dominate your mind, you'll never step out and move forward. Because you'll find out very quickly there's going to be some challenges. And you're going to have to believe God for wisdom. Believe God for strength. Believe God for favor. And all that you would need to fulfill the thing that you want to move forward into. So if we're going to try to draw back from any challenge, we're never going to do much of anything. Well, what if I fail? The only way you fail is to quit or never try. That's the only real failure. Everything's part of your education. Some things are more expensive. Some educations are more expensive. It's like if you're a young guy and you're beginning to drive a car and you start playing around and you wreck the car, hopefully you would learn from that and not do whatever you did. But that's an expensive lesson. Let's just say you bought your first car, don't have any insurance on it, you have to have liability, but wasn't an expensive car. Now you just watch $3,000 go down a toilet because you were foolish. So, anyway, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I lost my track. Everything in life's a lesson. If you don't learn the lesson, then you'll repeat it. You'll keep going round and around like they did for 40 years till they died. So the challenges and the situations present opportunities to learn and to grow. Yes. And it also helps us to know where I'm at. And verse 3 says, he humbled thee and allowed thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Now, going through the desert, they could think, oh, there's no grocery store. Oh, there's no McDonald's. There's no restaurants open. Well, that one applies to us. Where's the food? Where's the beef? you can begin to complain because you don't have things the way you want it to be. But it's an opportunity. And God, according to what he promised them, he fed them bread from heaven every morning. Actually, 6 days out of seven on the Sabbath, they ate off of the 6 days bread. But God provided, and it allowed them to see God would keep his word. He loved them. He would provide for them even where there was nothing to eat. So he fed them with manna, which they knew not. It was manna from heaven. That they might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And that's what God wanted them to learn. That they can trust what God spoke to them, trust his word, that they live by that, rather than their own ability. Well, how are we going to produce some food here? but we live by the word of the Lord. So when God gives a word or a command to do something, you are focused on that until the next word comes. This was so important that when Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus quoted this verse that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this was the lesson that they needed to learn to live, that they would first look to what God was speaking to them and believe God and his word, and then they would look at other things after that. But the important thing was to live by his word, and they needed to remember that. What did God say in relation to anything? What does he say in relation to these enemies that are going to be before them? Well, I just read it from Deuteronomy 7. What does he say concerning how they're to live amongst one another? Well, he spoke in his word how they were to love one another and how they were to treat one another. God speaks to every situation of this life, that we would every situation we would face, and we need to remember, what's God say to this? Again, it brings us back to the importance of hearing the word. Then I'll finish with verse 18, talking about things to remember moving forward. And he was, in these verses previous to verse 18, saying, don't forget, when you come into the land and come into the blessing, don't forget God, lest you say, my power, the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 17, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it's he that gave you the power to get wealth. The blessing we would have, when we come into blessing, we must remember the blessing came from God, not by the power of my hand. Now, in a sense of farming, which you know, a lot of them did farm type work. Yeah, you're putting your hand to the plow, but God's bringing the increase of the grain or the fruit. So even though we're working, God's working, and he's bringing the blessing. If we forget that, if we're not conscious of that, and we're more focused on what we're doing, then we're going to forget the Lord. And he goes on to say how we would worship other gods and then bring ourselves under judgment. God wants to bless you. He gives you the power to get wealth, that or in order that he might establish his covenant that he swore to his fathers. So the things that God does for us is in purpose to establish his covenant. Now under the new covenant, he wants us to be a light to the world. He wants us to minister to the Lord in praise and in prayer. He desires for us to bring provision of the word and provision to those around us. In other words, he wants to establish his covenant that through you he can bless other people. Or in moving forward in this life, there might be things you're thinking about that just pertain to you. But ultimately, he wants us to move past that, that we are thinking, how can my life, in your will, Lord, bless other people? And the more we begin to think that way, the more he pours out blessing to us, because it's in love. In other words, if I'm thinking to be blessed for the purpose, not of self, but of love's sake, to bless others, then we're on the flow or the track that God's flowing in. It's like you have a little boat and you put it in a river. Well, you're on the course of that river. You're not going some other direction. You're going with the flow of that river. And God's flow is a flow of love. And as we come to understand, okay, that he's brought us out from sin, defeated the enemy. He's brought us on our journey, providing for us. He speaks these things. We believe and receive it. And he brings us into a place where his blessings, his promises are being established, or we could say wealth. Excuse me. His wealth in our life. Established in order, it's given to us to establish his covenant. So the ultimate aim in being blessed is to be a blessing. I'll just say it that way. And as we're flowing in love, that blesses our Father because we're walking in his ways as he is. So things to remember moving forward into your future. Hopefully you've not let go of visionary thoughts that you have. It may be sometimes people need to allow those things to be resurrected in them. We can get caught up in what we're going through rather than look at what we're going to. While we're moving forward, there's some things we must always remember, whether it's in an occupation, a job, or whatever it might be. There's some things we need to remember. But as believers, we need to, above all, remember he brought us out of the world, out of sin, defeated our enemy, has provided for us on our journey. He has spoken his word to us, and that word charts our course. He's given us the power to prosper and have wealth. And that's just not about money, but abundance or whatever it is you need. He's given us that power. And really, it's incumbent upon us to continue to remember him, which as we enter into praise and worship, we're practicing that. We're doing that. We're declaring what we believe corporately together, where there is an increase of the anointing and of our faith together in expressing those things. So let's stand together and enter in together. Praise the Lord.